Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 57. Isaiah 57, we'll read verses 5 through 10 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Isaiah 57, verses 5 through 10. Isaiah 57, verses 5 through 10. Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks. Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are all thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed. Even thither wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also, and the posts, hast thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me. And thou art gone up, and hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed, where thou sawest it. And thou wentest to the king with ointment, and didst increase thy perfumes, and didst send thy messengers far off, and didst debate thyself even unto hell. Thou art wearied in thy greatness of thy way, yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou hast not grieved. And let's pray. Father, you're so good to us. Thank you for such a beautiful day outside, and thank you for your presence here inside this building. Father, thank you for church. Lord, it's a pretty gloomy, desperate-looking world out there, but in here everything's fine. Lord, you've given us the Word of God, you've given us the man of God, and you've given us your house. Probably never again will this exact crowd be assembled this way ever again. As our preacher has met with you, may we listen to him as he has listened to you, so that you could change our lives today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Brother Nichols and I have not talked at all. He chose that song on his own. The title of my sermon today is Wearied in the Greatness of Thy Way. Couldn't have gotten any closer on a song that would preface the sermon. No way. Just the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. This morning, the sermon is called Wearied in the Greatness of Thy Way. Before I actually launch the sermon, I will beg of you that you be still. Only slip out if it's an emergency. If you tend to be one of those that can't sit still and be quiet, I want you to steady yourself more than usual. Somebody came to church today desperate for strength from God. Please don't hinder that. Please, please, oh please. Last Sunday morning, it was like a madhouse in here. I had things going on every which way, and we were trying to preach the sermon, and God did a mighty work in spite of the fact that the devil fought so urgently. But I want you to listen to what is said. I believe that somebody will get their cup full this morning. They'll have enough energy to make it through the week. And you might not understand that, but somebody else here today, they came. They need something from God. Please, please don't hinder it with your behavior. Are you weary today? The Bible says in Isaiah 57:10, thou art weary in the greatness of thy way. God speaks of man and man's weariness, and God speaks of it often in his word. For instance, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Could I say to you, if God is correcting you, don't get weary of the correction that God brings your way, because that chastening is a picture or a sign of sonship. God does not need to chasten those that are not here, His. If you're here today and you say, you know what, God has been spanking me and I'm tired of it. Well, I'm sorry that you're getting a spanking, but you're better off getting a spanking than not getting a spanking, because no spanking means no Jesus in your heart. But if you're one of His, He's spanking you. And every once in a while, when God's spanking you for doing wrong, you ought to turn to your Heavenly Father and say, thank you, Daddy. I'm so glad that you spanked me. I'm so glad that you care enough to correct me. By the way, that's one of the reasons why your preacher gets on the young people. I love our young people. I love our church. I don't want them to mess up their life. It's not that preacher hates them. It's that preacher loves them. But here, God speaks of weariness, and we should not become weary of His correction. People become weary because of the sin that's in our world. I'll read to you from Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 31. It says, "For I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, and that anguisheth as of her heart that bringeth forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion that bewaileth herself, that spreadeth her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of murderers." Here it is being said that there was a wickedness, and people were wore down or weary because of the wickedness. And God knows, folks, we live in a wicked day. We live in a nasty day. But if you're not careful, you'll let the nastiness and the wickedness of the world weary you down to the point where you give up on God. You say, where's God? Well, God's alive. And hey, God's not done yet. God wins. God is the one that's going to have the victory. But you look at the wickedness in the world, and you become weary of how bad our society has gotten. And indeed, we will become weary of it. But folks, don't take your eyes off of Jesus. Hey, that wickedness, that so much the more does God need you and I to get our eyes on the eastern skies and be ready to help a lost and dying and wicked world. Don't be so weary of the wickedness of this world that you become a hermit and you pull yourself out of the church and you pull yourself away from God and say, I'm going to go hide. Believe me, the devil will find you wherever you're going. Did you know it's not a sin, though, to be weary? John chapter 4, verse number 6 tells us that Jesus became weary. The Bible says it's okay to be weary. And matter of fact, it says it's okay to be weary in well-doing. Galatians 6, 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now, I want you to notice something. That verse there said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." It does not say that, it does not say of well-doing, in well-doing. And there's a difference in the word in and of. God said, don't be weary in well-doing. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, "But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing." I don't think there's any mistakes in the Bible. And I also don't believe anybody can improve on the Bible. God's given it to us, inspired, preserved in the King James Bible, and I believe it. And here it says, "Be ye brethren, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing." If you're doing right and you're weary, God is in your corner. You say, "I'm weary." Nothing wrong with being weary. Nothing wrong of being weary in well-doing. We should be weary in well-doing. Oh, but we should not become weary of well-doing. In means we're still in the battle for right. Of means we're considering getting out of the battle for right. Be not weary in well-doing. You say, "I'm busy doing well and I'm doing right. And in that, I am a bit weary." Okay, that's okay. And God said, there's nothing wrong with you being weary in well-doing. But He said, don't you become weary of well-doing. That's when you're getting ready to get out of the battle. Hey, there's some of you in this congregation as your pastor. If I could tell you the whole truth about you, you have become weary of well-doing and you're backing away from well-doing. You probably have one foot in the door and already pick where you're going. Why? Hey, there was nothing wrong with being weary in well-doing, but you have become weary of well-doing and you're moving in the wrong direction. Hey, serving God is a great thing. And God is a great God. But weariness is a part of the greatness of what we do. Folks, look, we serve Almighty God. We serve the God of the universe. We serve the Creator of the universe. That's a great work. It's a spiritual work. It's a big work. And there will be a weariness in this war. There is a battle that goes on between good and evil and right and wrong. And there's going to be a weariness in the battle. But don't become weary of the battle where you pack your duds and you put your tail between your legs and you run. Stay in the battle, my friend. Stay in the battle. You say, I'm just so weary of the battle. Don't get weary of it. It's okay to be weary in it. Because if you're weary of it, you're getting ready to run. Don't run! When God gave us the armor in the New Testament, He didn't give him any armor for the back. He gave him a chest plate of righteousness. He gave him a helmet. He gave him armor for every part of the Bible, of the body, except for the back. Why? God never intended for you to retreat. You say, I'm weary. Okay, be weary in the battle, not of. Well, I can see the difference in and of. You can see it in people's faces. I can tell when somebody's weary in. I can also tell by the way they behave if they're weary of. That means they're getting ready to get out of the war. You say, well, preacher, there'd be easier churches to go to. Right. Yes, there will be. You could go punker down in a pew and become a spectator and somebody would pat your head and rub your belly and tell you everything's all right. But you've been educated beyond that, my friend. It's okay to be weary in well-doing, but not of well-doing. Serving God, what a great thing. Hey, weariness is a part of greatness. The Bible says in John 4:6, now Jacob's well was there, Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey. Listen, Jesus was doing a great work. It's no wonder that he was weary. But you better thank God he did not become weary of what he was about to do for you. Because had he become weary of what he was about to do for you, he could have called 10,000 angels, taken the first chariot right out of here and sent you to hell. He became weary in buying your salvation, but he didn't become weary of being your Savior. And you better thank God for that. And some of you that are about to put your tail between your legs, and some of you that already have, you've already put your tail between your legs. You're moving away from the greatness of the battle. You are moving away, and it is obvious. Thank God that he didn't do that to us. Isaiah 57:10, the Bible says, thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way. The way of God is a great way. And so you know, great men are weary men. Jeremiah 5:5 says, I will get me into the great men. God knows we need young people to see some great men. We need some people in this generation to see some great men. Great men are weary men. That's just the way it is. You name for me the top men secularly and in the realm of Baptist history. You name their names for me and I will promise you they were weary men. They did not get to the top of the totem pole by lounging around and relaxing. They were weary men. Weary in well-doing, not of. Your weakness is probably God developing you and developing your greatness. Don't run from greatness training. We've been busy. It's just, we're getting ready for our conference, getting ready for our spring program. Pastor, a huge church here. I have so many things going in my life. I was tired the other day and I said to myself, I want to go home, but I realized I needed to make one more hospital call. I did not want to make the hospital call. I said, I am just plum tuckered out or tum pluckered out or whatever I was. I said, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Jeff, go to the hospital. And I said, you go to the hospital. I'm on home. Got about halfway home and he said, I'm telling you one more time, go to the hospital. I said, all right, just to get you off my back. I turned around, went to the hospital. I was so weary. The elevator wasn't working quite right. Someone said, you know, take the stairs. I said, no, I didn't, no way. I'm tired. I'll wait. They'll come fix it. I'll be here Monday morning and I'll ride. I'm riding up. I'm not walking. I got on an elevator finally and got upstairs and I spent some time. Mrs. Ashley Hartman was in the hospital and I prayed with her. And after I prayed with her, I started to walk out. I was so tired and I just wanted to go home. And the lady beside me, she said, And there's a curtain pulled. I said, "Hi." And I took a step toward the door. And she said, "Sir." And inside me, it said, "I just want to go home." And I turned around and I said, "Ma'am, how are you today?" She said, "Not so good." And I said, I understand." I talked to her about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. It wasn't long until she bowed her head, closed her eyes, asked Jesus Christ to come into her heart and save her. I'll tell you what, though, Brother Young, on the way home, I walked out of her room. I wasn't weary anymore. I don't know where the weariness went. Somehow God took it away. I was weary in the work of God. But thank God I did not become weary of the work of God and what God did. He came along and He said, "If you'll keep doing my work, I will give you an energy and a strength that is heaven sent. And I will help you to stay on top side." And boy, I walked away after winning that lady to Christ. And I thought, come on, bring it on. Let's go for another round. Give me another dose of that. I'm telling you, folks, don't become weary of the work. It's okay to be weary in the work. Weary people run the world. The sermon title, "Weary in the Greatness of Thy Way." Let me ask you today, number one, are you weary with your everyday life? Are you weary with your everyday life? In Genesis 27:46, it says, "And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughter of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth." Here's what's happening. This is Rebekah speaking. And she uses, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth." See, when Rebekah says that she is weary with her life here, she's talking about her children. She is saying, actually, she has a son that's getting ready to marry a gal, and she is virtually wearied by her children. Understand, her sons were Esau, Jacob. They had been a handful. And Esau said he hated his brother, and one had deceived the other, and there was anger between them. And in verse number 46, she now is dealing with Jacob possibly marrying an undesirable, and she is stressed over it. Let me say to every mama here today, are you weary? I know it's an admirable thing and you love being a mama, but I'm going to tell you something. A mama can get wore down and a mama can get wore out, and especially a good mom. And I'm not talking about a mom that's wore out from watching the television and blogging all night. I'm talking about a mama that's wore out because she's trying to protect the righteousness of her children, and she's watching everything that goes on, and she cooks and feeds them right. They don't live out of the microwave. I'm talking about a mama that's concerned about how her kids look and keeping them clean. And I'll tell you something. A mama can get wore down. In a society today where women are expected to support the household and everything that you add to that, I'll guarantee you there are women in this house today, they are much, much, much like Rebekah. They say, "I'm weary. I'm weary." Let me say to you, mama, it's okay to be weary in the work of being a mother, but don't you ever become weary of the work of being a mother. It's okay for you to say, "Preacher, I'm tired," and "Preacher, it's heavy and it's heavy." But don't you ever top out on your kids. Don't you ever run out on your husband. Don't you ever run out on those that need you. You see, we can become weary in the work of being a mama, but don't you ever become weary of the work of a mama. You see, we need to understand there's nothing wrong with weariness. Although there's a special love that is shared between a mom and her children, there is also a special frustration. A mama can love very deep, but let me say to every child in this house, just like you enjoy the fact that your mama loves you very deep, let me tell you something. When you misbehave, you do not understand the depth of pain that you cause that mama that loves you so deep. And there are mamas whose hearts are strained and mamas whose hearts are stressed because of their children's behavior. Attending to the children can wear you out. Rebekah, here in this passage found in Genesis 27, Rebekah is saying, in our modern day language, "My kids are about to drive me crazy. I'm about to pull my hair out." Rebekah was saying, staying home all day, changing dirty diapers, cleaning up messes, and attending to children that, hey, and some of them that ought to be attending to themselves by now. Some of you kids that are not babies anymore, but mama has to do everything for you. You're wearing your mommy down, and she's wearied It doesn't necessarily have to be wearied as a result of your bad behavior, but God knows that will wear out a mama. But it could be wearied because you won't grow up and do what you're supposed to do, and mama's covering your back and your traps all the time. Our everyday lives can weary us. And let me say to everybody here, you do what you do and I do what I do. I'm a pastor, you're a truck driver, you're a drug dealer. You do what you do, I do what I do. And it wears on everybody. And then we all need to just keep going. Don't give up. Be weary in well-doing, but not of well-doing. Folks, let me tell you. And everybody, keep your eyes fastened right on me here. Let me tell you something. You say, well, I wish I were not weary like everybody else. How many people here would say you've experienced weariness this week? Would you raise your hand, please? Oh, isn't that interesting? You want to be weary like everybody else? Well, you are! You're so self-centered, you think you're the only one that's tired. There were people tired before you, there are people tired like you, and there will be people tired after you. What makes you think you get out of this thing without weariness? And the older you get, the wearier you get. And it doesn't matter how much sleep you get. I take a nap every night before I go to bed. Job got weary. He said, my soul is weary. Are you weary from caring? Hey, maybe you're weary from caring for a special child. Maybe you have a child with a learning disability. Maybe you have a child with a physical disability. Are you weary? Are you weary from a disobeying child? Oh, do I see the stress in parents' faces? Oh my, the stress when a child has been taught and they know better, and no matter what happens, that child keeps going against what mom and dad taught them to do. And folks, all you parents ought to stick together and love each other and support each other instead of being critical of each other. Let me tell you, there are parents that are good parents that are trying their best with their kids, and their kids still won't listen. Parents should throw their hands in the sky and say, I don't know what to do about it. They won't listen to me. You talk about weary. Hey, mom, are you weary? Mama, are you weary with your everyday life, much like Rebecca was weary? Let me say to you, you're going to be weary, and it's okay to be weary in the work of being a parent. But don't you ever become weary of the work of a parent. It is a privilege and an honor to be a parent, and don't give up. Don't give up, mom and dad. You say, but I've corrected and corrected and corrected and corrected. I don't know what to do. Let me tell you what to do. Correct again. And then correct again. And then correct again. And then correct again. Don't give up. Be weary in it, but don't be weary of it. Are you today one that might be weary in your repenting? Listen to this verse. Jeremiah 15:6 says, thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore, will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. Here it says that somebody can be weary of repenting. When I'm going to apply this to you and I. I know I experienced this one. Do you ever get weary of needing to ask God to forgive you again? You do wrong, but maybe you didn't mean to. And then you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm going to do better. And before you know it, you've done that same stupid thing again. And then we repent all over again. We can almost become embarrassed about approaching God again because of our repetitive failure. Now, folks, you and I, we're going to get weary of fighting. But let me tell you something. It's okay to be weary in your flesh, but don't you ever become weary of going back to God and repenting. You say, I've just done it so much, preacher, I give up. I'm not going to the altar again. I'm not going to get it right again. I give up. I give in. You are wrong. You're making a mistake. You say, I am so tired. I can barely make it back to God to get it right with God again. Then you better use the last dose of energy that you have to repent again. Repent again. Someone here is truly fighting an addictive personality, or maybe you've got an addictive way about you. Maybe you're fighting the booze. Somehow that's crept into your life and you have a problem, and that liquor has got a hold of you, and you say, "Preacher, I try and I fail and I try and I fail and I try and I fail and I'm trying." You just keep trying. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I came to this church and I've been doing drugs and I've gotten saved and I'm having a hard time getting over it." I go to God and I say, "God, I'm done." And then I go back, and then I go back to God and say, "God, I'm done with these drugs." And then somehow I end up back there and I'm just wore out. I'm tired of coming back. Hey, why don't you get tired of going back to the drugs, but don't you ever get tired of coming to God and repenting of that weakness? You say, "How in the world many times am I supposed to repent? As many times as it takes." You just keep coming back, and you keep coming back. You say, "I've got a lust problem." You keep coming back. You say, "Boy, I light up a cigarette. I smoke one after another, and I know it's not good for my health, and I know it's not a good testimony, and I am trying. But preacher, I'm almost tired of going to God and saying, 'I'm sorry.' I'm tired of quitting smoking. I've quit smoke about 100 times. What am I supposed to do?" Don't you ever get weary of repenting. Keep trying. You say, "I try, but I fail." And you say, "I try, but I fail. And I try, and I fail." Hey, all you need to do is have one more try than you have failure, and you're going to succeed. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:16, "A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again." You know what that means? You try and you fail and 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 you try. You know something? God said, if you'll just keep bouncing back up, eventually you're going to get it. All you need to have is one more get up than you have fall down, and suddenly you're succeeding. Don't you become weary of repenting. You might be weary in your repentance. You might say, "This is getting to me. I'm tired of the same thing over and over and over again." Okay, be weary in it, but don't become weary of it. Keep coming back to God. Don't quit. It's okay to be weary in your repentance. Don't become weary of repenting. Get right with God. You say, how many times? As many as it takes. Say, how many times do you think I ought to come to the altar? You just keep coming. It's open. There's no limit. No limit. You say, "But preacher, you've been our pastor here for 10 years and I've rededicated my life 3 times. I'm tired of rededicating my life." Well, I'm not tired of you doing it. If you need to rededicate your life again, then you rededicate your life again, but never become weary of repenting. May I say, are you weary in your burdens? Your burdens. Psalm 6:6 says, "I am weary with my groaning." Huh. It says, "All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears." David here is speaking, and he said, he uses the word, "I'm weary with my groanings." What's he talking about? His groaning. That's his burdens. That's his heartaches. He's not saying he minded carrying the burden, but sometimes it did get heavy. It was his burden. He had to carry it. We all get tired of bearing our burdens. You have the burden of paying the bills and the burden of the household duties, and maybe it's an illness. You say, "I have an illness that's come upon me, and I tell you what, preacher, I just get weary carrying it." You're going to be weary in your illness. But could I tell you something? Don't become weary of it. Because if God is going to allow it to go away, it's going to go away. But if God doesn't allow it to go away, you're to be weary in it. But don't you become weary of it. Because if you become weary of it, you will begin to blame God. You'll find yourself bitter with God. You'll say, "I had faith in God that He's going to take it away, but He didn't. Now I'm mad at God." Let me tell you something. If you have a burden that does not seem to go away, it may be that God wants to see what you're going to do in it. In it. Our dear part-time staff member, one of the men that helps us with the bus garage, Brother Ron Shank. He and I talked. He said, "Preacher," he said, "something's happening. I think I'm losing my sight." He went to have a test. He called me. He said, "Preacher, they told me I have a tumor." I said, "Well, we prayed and we talked about it. And all along the way we've talked. This week he went and he had the tumor removed from his head. There was pressure against the pituitary gland and pressure against the optical nerves. And you know something? It was wearing him down. But I'll tell you, if you know Ron Shank, He had become weary in the thing, but he had not become weary of whatever God's will was for his life. He's not mad at God about his burden. Not at all. He's still in the hospital. Now, they don't need a lot of visitors right now. He and Kay are working their way through it. But let me tell you something. There are burdens, and some of you have some health issues, and they're heavy. And I'm sorry for you, but let me tell you something. It's okay to be weary in that physical ailment. It's okay to be tired. But whatever you do, don't you become so weary of it that you start blaming God and get bitter at God and say, "Why is this happening to me? I'm mad at you, God." That'll ruin you. It's okay to be weary in your physical problem, but if you become weary of it, you may end up turning on God, and that's the last one you want to turn on. Your only chance of healing is going to come from above, not from yourself. Do you face the burden of a financial setback? Is it Job? The great man by the name of Job, in Job chapter 10, verse 1, he said, "My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself." Hey, you have a broken heart? Do you have a broken heart? One of your children broken your heart? Someone you know broken your heart? You say, "Oh, it's so bad. I'm weary." Make sure you're weary in your brokenheartedness, not of it. Because if you're not careful, again, it'll turn out bitterness, and the devil will get into the thing. And before long, you'll be running from God instead of running to God. You have the burden of shattered dreams, or are you weary in your burden? Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit in that burden. Are you weary because you have been, are you weary because you're reaping what you have sown? Can I tell you something? The Bible says if we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap to the flesh. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's some of you, you're living right, but you're reaping the consequences of some things that you've sown in the past, and it's wearing you down. Hey, well, let me tell you something. Why don't you learn from it so you don't do it again, and that way you don't have to reap again? But you say, "I just about had it with this." Well, God had just about had it with you, and that's why you are reaping what you had sown. But don't you become weary. Hang in there. Get through the reaping process. I was thinking of Mrs. Joanne Cave, dear sweet lady in our church. I don't know how many times Joanne has gone through cancer treatments. Last time she and I talked, and we were so excited. They said, "It seems like it's all calmed down, preacher. I'm okay." It's not been many weeks ago. She called and she said, "Preacher, it's back." Joanne, don't become weary. Keep fighting. Keep trying. Keep working at it. Yesterday afternoon, we laid in the grave Carol Bruffy, Leonard's mama. I'll promise you something. Their hearts are heavy today. Becky, children, Keith, hang in there. Hang in there. You're facing a burden right now. But you hang in there. And you will be weary. Anybody that loses a loved one as such, they're going to be weary and they're going to be tired. But you just make sure you keep going. There's nothing wrong with being weary. But you make sure it's weary in, not of. Let me say, are you weary in your forbearing? Jeremiah 20, verse number 9 says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing." And I could not stay. The word forbearing there was talking about restraint. I'll tell you more about it here in a moment, but let me say this. You need to be careful that you do not become weary of restraining yourself. You say, "Well, I'm just the kind of person that's going to tell you what's on my mind." Then you're an idiot. Because you're not supposed to say everything that's on your mind. Do you understand the Bible says the imagination is evil continually? Do you realize that you're not supposed to say everything that you think? Because if you really believe that, then why don't you go ahead and just cut loose and say everything you think? I mean everything. No, you pick what you choose to say, and you're just blowing off hot smoke when you say, "Well, I'm just the kind of person that tells you what's on my mind." You don't tell it all. You pick what you say. But there should be a restraint in everybody. You say, "I'm a little bit weary in forbearing." Jeremiah is speaking here in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 9. Actually, he's a preacher. And he is at the point where he is just sick and tired of the preacher. And he said, "I'm tired of holding back." Boy, do I understand. If I'm not Mr. Pleasant, I am in trouble. I have to fight the devil with padded gloves. Or people get mad at me. Now, you're supposed to be nice to the devil. Well, go suck an egg, booger face. Jeremiah, he said, I preach and they won't listen. He got to the point where he said, I've had it. I'm tired of holding back. He said, I'm not sure I want to do this anymore. But thank God he couldn't keep silent. Thank God he said, I tried, I decided I just wasn't going to put up with it anymore. All the negative. But thank God something inside him said, nah, get back on the firing line there. Let me tell you something. You could get tired of forbearing. Are you tired of being patient with your enemy? Gets old. Especially if your enemy will take advantage of it. There's some people that they know if you won't fight back, they'll just dig at you and dig at you and dig at you. And if you're turning the other cheek, they'll dig at you and dig at you. They'll go after you and they'll just keep coming because they're expecting you to be a good Christian. Say, I'm tired of forbearing. It doesn't give you the right to grab them by the throat and punch their face down their throat. Are you weary and being patient with someone who won't carry their weight, they won't carry their load? Weary and forbearing. You're holding back. There's something inside you that wants to reach out. Reach out and touch someone. Are you weary in your teaching? You teachers, I'll tell you what. People that are true teachers get weary in it. And I'll tell you why. You're teaching and people aren't listening. You're teaching and people are playing. You're teaching and people are mocking. You're teaching and you get weary of it. Because if you're a good teacher, you throw yourself into it. You think it is the most important thing going on anywhere in the world. That is if you're a good teacher. And it is a passion of yours. And you bleed it and it beats in your heart. And you want the people to get it. And then you watch people don't really care. And you say, phew. You got to remount that horse and ride again and don't give up. Are you weary and forbearing with your husband? Are you weary? You say, it just seems like he's not interested in God and interested in spiritual things. Are you weary and forbearing with your wife? Are you weary in your tolerance of debts that people owe you that are unpaid? Jeremiah said, I'm weary and forbearing. He said, I'm getting a little tired of holding back. You know, you'll be proved when you're under the greatest stress, not when everything's okay. Are you weary in watching people that could do better, but they won't? Are you a leader that is weary of being kind toward followers? They won't give their best. They create problems. They do more harm than they do good. They're undependable. It's easy to become weary of it. You be weary in your forbearing, but don't become weary of forbearing. You be weary in your parenting, but don't become weary of parenting. You be weary in your marriage, but don't become weary of your marriage. You be weary in your burdens, but don't become weary of your burdens. Folks, we're all going to face burdens. We're all going to face hardships. And remember, the world is ran by weary people. And there's a behavior within weariness that ought to be exceptional among Christians. The world gets weary of and they turn coat, disloyal, backstabbing, attacking, anything to climb to the top. Christianity has an ethics, a propriety, a goodness, and a kindness. And we are to face our burdens and heartaches with a new level of propriety and self-control. You say, how can I do that? God gave you a thing called the Holy Spirit down inside you. And you may be weary in, but you're not to be weary of. Are you weary in your forbearing? Hard to restrain yourself? Hey, are you weary of holding in your temper? Jeremiah 6:11 says, therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. You weary of holding your temper in? Jeremiah said, I'm full of fury. Anybody here full of fury? Don't give in to your flesh. You and the Holy Spirit can control your temper. Anytime it's not happening, you're not doing His part, but He's doing His. You have the same Holy Spirit everybody else has. He is as powerful within you as He could be in anybody else if you'll submit to Him and let Him do His part. It's hard. It is very hard to be kind to people who would hurt you. And especially they do it behind your back and you know. You get weary of the wicked world and you want to lose your temper with them. Look, did you know something? Did you know that lost people can't do any better than act like lost people?
Right.
You know, lost people that act stupid and wicked and vile, that's what lost people do. That's what they are. Now, I think it probably ought to be a bigger disappointment when you and I misbehave. Because we can do better. And I can't control you and you can't control me. So I think the one I better zoom in on is me. I better make sure I with the power of the Holy Spirit, control me. And I watch my temper and I watch my thoughts and I watch my mouth and I watch my words. But, you know, the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Can I give you some advice? When you're disciplining your kids, make sure you do it in love. There's a way to discipline your kids without being angry and irate. I get angry with sin. That's fine. But I think one of the things that provokes a child to wrath is when the parent is out of control, emotionally out of control with rage while they're disciplining. My dad loved me beyond any shadow of a doubt. He beat me within inches of my life to tell me. My dad loved me. I never doubted that. The Bible says, be ye kind one to another. You know, I love this passage of scripture where Jeremiah said, I am full of fury. I'm weary of holding in. I thought about preparing me a sermon called I'm Full of Fury. I'd just like to be able to preach it one time. I'd like to be able to be like you gossips who you just tell everybody everything on your mind. I'd like to tell everybody everything on my mind once. One time. I'd like to be like you. I have to preach a sermon called Love Your Enemy. I'd rather preach a sermon called Kill Your Enemy. Get forgiveness later. Mrs. Owens told me one time, she said, honey, I hope there's a switch inside you somewhere. Nobody's ever found it. I hope they don't. I will feel very sorry for the one that flips that switch. You put up with so much junk so long and you've tried to do it graciously. If anybody ever finds that switch, you're going to prison for murder. Some of you better protect your switch. You better protect your switch. Some of you, everybody knows where yours is. Matter of fact, you go around flipping it all the time. Watch this. There's nothing wrong with being weary. Are you weary today? Well, we welcome you to the fraternity of weary people. Some of you ought to be more weary. You're weary of fighting your fleshly battles. Some of you ought to get in the spiritual battle. Some of you ought to be weary from serving God instead of weary from serving yourself. Are you weary today? Has life for you down? Is it your everyday life like Rebecca? Are you weary and you're repenting because you just keep messing up? Well, I say keep coming back to God. Are you weary and you're burdened? Be careful that you be weary in it but not of it, because you'll be bitter if you're not careful. Are you weary and you're forbearing? You say, I just keep holding back in so many areas. Don't give up. You keep yourself restrained. Are you weary with your wrath? Are you weary with your temper? Don't let that thing loose. Don't let it loose. You're going to hurt people if you do. Are you weary this morning of crying? Are you weary of your tears? Psalm 69, verse 1, 2, and 3 says, save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into the deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. In verse number 1, he said, the psalmist said, I'm drowning. You say, send him a boat. Well, it's not in an ocean. He said, the waters are coming upon me in verse number 2. He said, the waters are deep in verse number 3. He said, so deep I can't keep my head above the amount of water that's overcoming me. He said, it's deep water. It's floods. It's overflowing me. Wait, somebody help the psalmist. He's out in the ocean. He's drowning. He said, no. He said, I'm on my couch. And the water's salty, and it's not from the Atlantic. The water's salty because it's coming from my own body. I'm drowning in my tears. I'm drowning. David was so weary of crying. He said, my throat is raw and dry. My eyes are hurting. They're blurred. I can't focus right. I'm drowning in my own tears. Do you today cry for a lost soul and you're wearied and your desire to see a husband saved or a wife saved or a child saved? Do you today cry for a wayward child? Do you cry for a backslidden spouse? Do you cry over the death of a loved one? And oh my, has our church had a crew of people pass over to the other shore? And so many of you watch folks come in and they have a smile on their face and they greet you. But there is no doubt in my mind, there's a mighty army of people who grieve today. Their hearts are broken because someone they love has gone to heaven. They're not upset about them being in heaven. There's just a hole in their heart. And they cry. Do you weep because of a broken relationship? Folks, it's okay to be weary in your tears, but never become weary of them. You're going to need them. It's okay to weep. It's okay to weep. And I'll tell you something. There's some of you, maybe if you'd learned to weep and you'd really learned to get a hold of God, maybe you'd see a little more happen in your life. Tears are a language that God understands. Do you weep because of a loved one's sin? Do you weep because of your own sin? David said, I'm weary. I've wept and I've wept and I've wept. I'm raw. I am virtually drowning in my own tears. Are you weary today? Are you weary? Hey, are you in the fire today? Do you feel like the fires of life have come upon you? Jeremiah 51:58 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gate shall be burned with fire, and the people shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary. You know what's happened here? We see here they are weary in the fire. Have the pressures of life brought weariness upon you? And so you all understand the fires of life are purifiers. You're to become better because of your burdens, not worse. You're to go forward because of your burdens, not backwards. And again, I'll say this. I said it last week. I've got some men in this church. I'm a little disappointed. The fires came to you and you're going backwards instead of forward. Where'd you learn that? Where'd you learn to go backwards instead of forwards? Go forward for God. We heat water to purify it. Fire is a purifier. The fires of life will make you stronger. It's in the fire that you're proven. Don't run. Stand in the fire. Thank God Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went into the fire and stood in the fire. And don't you think it was a little weary in the fire? You all picture them in there playing, you know, checkers and drinking sweet tea in the fire. You believe me. You better stop and realize that really happened. Those were three real human beings that got thrown into a real fire. Don't you think they were a little weary as they were going through the fire? But thank God they didn't put their tail between their legs and run. They said, if I'm going to be in the fire, I'll survive the fire. I'll tell you, some of you, I'll tell you, you're just going to have to face something. If you want to be used of God, you're going to have to learn about the fire and being in it. There are virtually people in this room, you've decided, I'm weary of the fire. I'm getting out. I want to put myself in a position where the devil doesn't attack me anymore. You're weary of the fire. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm weary in it. But I have full intentions to stay on the firing line. You say, but won't the devil attack you? Yes, he'll attack anybody that will do right. And the more you do right, the more he's going to attack you. And you ought to consider it a compliment instead of a time for you to cop out. Be weary. Where? In the fire. But not of the fire. Not of the fire. I'm finished, but let me say, weariness handled properly produces greatness. Weariness handled properly produces greatness. Isaiah 57:10, it says, thou art weary in the greatness of thy way. Be weary in, not of, what God. Hey, God, in some of your lives, God is honing a greatness. You can't get greatness built in luxury. Greatness is going to be built on the battlefield. Don't run from weariness. Stand in it. I'm not telling you weariness is going to be pleasant. You can be weary, but be weary in the battle, not of the battle. Weariness, I believe, is one of the primary ingredients of greatness. Bible says Solomon became very weary. It says in Ecclesiastes 12:12, it says, and much study is weariness of the flesh. Weariness. Don't you think the Apostle Paul was weary? Of course, he launched the modern day missionary movement. I'm glad that when Paul got weary, he didn't say, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to back off for 4 or 5 years here. Had that happened, you probably wouldn't even be saved today, because they would have never launched the missionary movement that brought the gospel to our continent and others. Good thing God's not dependent on you to do a great work, because when you get weary, you quit. Don't you think Moses was weary? Think about what Moses went through. 40 years in the wilderness, leading 3 million plus fickle Baptists. Ain't no wonder he brought those tablets down from the mountain and threw them on the ground. Moses came down. He'd been gone for a little while. God had given him the Ten Commandments. Moses said, bunch of idiots. They were all partying, doing stupid things. God said, you just broke the Bible. Moses said, I'll come back and get a new one. But you ought to pastor these people. Noah was 500 years old when God called him. 500. You say, I'm weary. I'm in my 40s. Noah was in his 500s. The flood came when he was 600. Then he was cramped up with his family all those days and nights. That was worse than the first 600 years when he was caught on the boat. Look, if you can't handle boot camp, you want to stay out of the real war, buddy. Good thing Jesus did not become weary when he was buying your salvation. Was he weary? Oh, yeah, the Bible says he became weary to the point where he was sweating great drops of blood. He found himself stumbling as he was carrying that cross to Calvary. But I'm glad he made it all the way. Amen. He became weary in the battle, but not of it. There are people in this room, you need to turn your face around and say, okay, I'm in the battle. I plan to stay in the battle. You have an attitude of I'm weary of. It's time to change it. You can't get out of the weariness. And just so you know, you go back into the world, you talk about wear you out. Especially a backslidden Christian. God's liable to slap the fire out of you. You turn and run on God. That's part of that chastening where we started. Now thank God if you're being chastened. Let's be weary in the battle, not of the battle. In weariness, you'll find greatness. Don't run from what God's trying to do in your life. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want to welcome you to the Savior. Maybe you're not born again. Why don't you get saved today? In a second, we'll have an altar call. The men that are sitting on this platform in a moment will step down off the platform. They'll post themselves at the end of each aisle. If you're here and you've never been saved, when we give the altar call, you leave your seat, you walk down the aisle, walk up to one of these men. We'll have trained soul winners take a Bible and show you how to be born again. There are people all over this auditorium today, though. You have become weary, and you are weary in the wrong way. You have become weary of. You need to stay in and be weary. Don't step out and be weary. Stay in the battle. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would anybody here today say, preacher, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. God bless you. You say, if I died today, I don't know I'd go to heaven. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. Someone else, you say, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved. I need to be born again. Pray for me. Then, is there somebody here today that would say, preacher, God spoke to me about the weariness. I experience it. Oh, but has God ever spoken to me about being weary in the battle, not being weary of? I see that God is trying to do something great in my life, and I was about to run from His development of greatness. I want to be weary in. not weary of. And God has spoken to me in a special way. Would you raise your hand and say, God has spoken to me. God bless you. If you need this altar in a moment, you come and you get on your face. Somebody needs to rededicate your life. Somebody needs to come down here and you say, I'm trying again. I am going to try again. I'd pretty well thrown in the towel. I got weary of repenting. You come. You say, I lost my temper again and I'm tired of getting it right. You come and get it right today. Let's not be weary of, but weary in. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to